Wake up fresh
daily.
Wake up fresh daily. With Tom and Lonnie.
I'm so nervous about this story, so I'm just going to go slowly.
Okay.
Because it's got some swearing in it.
Right, well, don't swear.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping not to, but I can't promise anything.
Okay.
Okay. Sometimes towns, cities, landmarks, these types of things around the world end up with a name that to us, English-speaking people, is a bit naughty. Or very naughty, just straight out swear words.
Well, have you ever heard anything about New Zealand?
Yeah, okay.
There's a fair bit of that gear over there.
No, I haven't been there, so I haven't lived.
No, neither have I, but I've heard about
You've heard things. Yeah. There's a town in Austria. Now, they have to change their name. They've decided that after 1,000 years, they're changing their name. There is only about 100 people that live in this town.
Yeah.
But they are sick and tired of the constant ridicule worldwide, especially the article that's written here, since the internet has been made available to people worldwide.
Yes.
That's when it really ramped up.
Sure.
You know, out of that 1,000-year period.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Or towards, you know, recent times, the internet has made it go viral. Now, the town is, so it's an F word.
Okay.
But it's got the ing on the end of it.
Okay, yeah.
So F word, ing.
So fire trucking.
Yes. Okay, that's the town name.
Fire trucking.
Welcome to the town of
fire trucking.
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
What does it mean in Austrian?
Don't know. It's just a bit, I mean, I'm sure that they came across this town 1,000 years ago and thought, you know what? This is a beautiful town of
fire trucking.
Yeah.
I thought fire trucking always meant fire trucking.
So did I.
I didn't realise the meaning of has evolved over the years.
Apparently,
I mean, it makes sense.
Apparently it says here that it has no deeper meaning. It's just a town. I mean, you know, it's just like, okay, for argument's sake, Hoppers Crossing. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, is there anything behind that?
No, there's not. Well, I don't know.
There might be.
Mr. Hopper probably
I'm not
was
sure.
crossing the Werribee River at some point. And
apparently locals were getting fed up because naked couples were travelling to the town and there's a big sign as you go into
fire trucking.
And they were, you know.
Fire trucking.
Yeah. Right out the front of it.
Yeah.
So they're changing the name and they've voted, right?
Yeah.
And they've decided, okay, this is a lot better.
Okay.
So the name is fudging.
No.
Or.
No.
Or I could be saying it wrong. I just don't want to say it. F-U-G-G-I-N-G.
Oh, no, that's not fudging.
Yeah.
Wake up fresh. Fresh
daily.
Wake up fresh daily. With Tom and Lonnie. Wake up so good. K-Rock 955.
There's a guy, and I did say the authorities are not a fan. His name's Alan Fan. He's
okay,
a 40-year-old guy from Brisbane. He's very generous. And in fact, he is being touted as the unofficial most prolific sperm donor in Australia.
Wow.
He's now under investigation for reportedly surpassing the limit of children one donor can create. Now, I'm not going to lie, all of this is news to me because I've never looked into it.
Okay, well, think about it, right?
Yeah.
Really, that makes sense. Because then all of a sudden you got people out there and what if they're related and then you don't know, like that can cause dramas.
Funny you should say that. So he's been providing the service both privately and through registered clinics in order to help people out who want to become parents. He's got two kids of his own. He fathered 23 kids in 1 year through his donations, but they reckon he's up to about 40 overall.
40 kids.
Yeah, so while he's helped out lots of Aussie families, he's now being investigated by the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Authority, or VARTA, because you can do up to 10 in Victorian law, including your own partner.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, even that seems...
Yeah, and in some rural fertility clinics and other states, that limit is cut to 5 families for each donor due to potential for meeting related families in future contact with a donor.
Yes.
Yeah, right? So you don't want... You're right, and it's a small town.
It's
and
a
you
small
don't have
town,
and
all of a sudden, oh, you're the same age as someone, and hey,
yeah.
You're kind of good looking. Well, I'm kind of good looking.
Gary, yeah.
Oh, guess what? We're related.
Oh, it's too late.
Jesus, no. That's horrifying.
Yeah, so along with donating through registered clinics, he's also been donating informally through an online group called Sperm Donation Australia.
BYO turkey baster.
Yeah, so he's when you're going through the formal channels, you have to confirm that you're not you've not donated over the 10 family limit. And so what he said was, right, he said he went to, when they were trying to have their second child, him and his partner, he thought he might be infertile. And so they were getting tested and stuff. And he decided then and there that if he was fertile, then he would help other families. Cause
spread the seed.
Yeah, yeah, but that, well, literally, literally.
Do you get paid for that?
No, no.
Because in America.
I don't think so.
In America, you get paid for donating blood and also donating swimmers.
I don't think you're allowed to. I don't think you're allowed to get paid in Australia for that kind of business.
It's a free service.
Yeah, essentially.
From the goodness of his heart.
Might be gifts.
Yeah.
Might be given gifts.
Wrap a bowl around it.
But I mean, he's getting a fair bit out of it anyway, isn't he, really? He's having it.
Well.
He can't be having that bad of a time. If he's gone back to the well 40 times. So he said, right, so he knew the rules and he said, I reached my 9th and I thought that was it. Then I received a message from a lady around Christmas saying donation was successful, which then became my 10th. And I thought, well, I've already gone over my limit. I'll just help a few more. And it kind of blew out.
Oh, blew out indeed.
The authorities might not be a fan, but I certainly am. Good on you, sir.
Wake up fresh daily. Wake up fresh daily. With Tom and Lonnie.
I got stuck right into something over the weekend because it's appeared in shops again over the last probably month or so, maybe 3 weeks, and I've finally invested, and I like to do this every year. I'll buy a whole heap of it.
Is it good cheese?
No. I'll buy a whole heap of it because it's only this time of year. You know, like
cherries.
You know when hot cross buns are out and so you stock up and you chuck them in the freezer? So that you then have hot cross buns for months after Easter as well.
No, but cool. I like that idea.
Okay. So I've done that again, but I've done it with eggnog.
I don't understand it.
What do you mean? What's not to understand?
Isn't it an American thing? It's not really big here, is it?
Eggnog is huge, mate. Eggnog is huge. I don't know where it originated, to be honest with you.
I've never, ever gone to someone's house over Christmas and they've offered me a glass of eggnog.
Well, maybe it's not a bloody Maso thing, hey?
Okay.
It's not. Maybe it's not like Euro, but I feel like it is.
I think it's Euro.
Yeah.
It might be. Oh, it just, what is it? I don't even know what it is.
Is it just eggs?
Are you drinking eggs?
It's not. It doesn't taste like egg at all.
I hate that. You know when you're like... You know when you have like eggs but in the dishwasher and then you can like smell them on the plate? Blech.
So you know me, I'm not a big egg guy. I don't eat quiche because it's too much egg, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not a big egg guy. So I'm not going to, you know, encourage you to get involved with anything that's too eggy. Eggnog is not too eggy. It's delicious. It's kind of like, it's subtle in taste and it's cinnamony and then you can put like brandy.
Is it thick?
No, it's not. It's just milky.
So it's milky egg.
But you put no, there's no egg. Get the egg out of your head.
Well, why do they have it in the label?
Because there's egg powder in it.
Just call it nog.
I do.
Just whipping out to get some nog.
Mm. I drank, so they come in 1 litre bottles and you can get ones that have the Bundaberg rum flavouring in it. I'm not on board with
Hang on, from the supermarket?
Yeah, that's flavouring. It's not actual rum in it, I don't think anyway. But I put my own.
Give it to the kids.
Put my own brandy or rum in it, but only on special occasions.
You do not have brandy or rum at home.
Yeah.
Do you?
I've got a bottle of rum at the moment.
Do
but
you?
I didn't use it on the weekend because it's not.
Juice.
Wait until it gets closer to Christmas to Irish up my nog.
Okay.
But I did drink. So they come in 1 litre bottle. I went through 2 cartons across between cartons. Saturday morning and bedtime last night. So
let's sit back and watch your caboose grow.
I drank a litre of nog a day across the weekend.
Is it like drinking custard?
No. Oh, it comes in the same kind of carton.
Oh,
but
my God.
Custard's not, it's not as thick as custard. It's like milk consistency.
Well, clearly, I've never had it.
Well, and just on the historical sense, as we were talking about before, asking where did it come from. While culinary historians debate its exact lineage, most agree eggnog originated from the early medieval Britain posset, a hot, milky, ale-like drink. By the 13th century, monks were known to drink a posset with eggs and figs.
Yuck. Cooked egg drink.
So it's British. So there you go, right? So I've gone. I can't keep up this pace, both financially and also physically. I probably cannot drink a litre of eggnog between now.
Does it come in the fridge or on the shelf?
It's in the fridge. It's got to be refrigerated.
Okay.
But it's kind of a long life vibe to it. But then, if you got to drink it within 3 days of opening,
right? So is it something you have to stockpile because like. People go mad for the nog.
They do, right? So you go, oh, no. And it's happened to me in years past where I've gone, oh, I should grab some nog. I'll get it next time. Oh, I should grab some nog. I'll get it next time. Oh, I'll get some nog this time. Gone. Can't find it anywhere. It sells out.
What?
Paul's nog.
I've never, ever had it, and I don't ever want to have it. It sounds disgusting.
You're judging it without ever trying it.
Well, sorry.
We're going to do something about it, because I've got now a freezer full of nog.
I'm not coming over to taste your nog.
No, no, I'm going to bring my nog to work. We'll do it here. We'll do it on the show tomorrow.
No, I don't want to.
You can share it with the people.
Why do you always have to force feed me stuff?
Because it's Christmas.
And so I'm, yeah.
Tomorrow we'll do a taste test. So other people can listen along and then maybe we'll do it on the socials as well. And then other people might feel comfortable trying eggnog as well. You know, you might broaden your horizons and broaden other people's at the same time.
I don't trust you. I don't actually trust you to just feed me nog too.
I will feed you nog tomorrow and you'll bloody love it, okay?
Okay, all right.
Wake up fresh daily. Wake up fresh daily. With Tom and Lonnie. So good. K-Rock 955.
I want to talk about lazy deliveries.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't call you lazy at all.
No, I'm a walker. I do. I like to get out there. I put my little podcast on.
You do get out each and every day.
Yeah.
But you are a TA.
Massively. And I don't pay for delivery. Not ever. Unless, of course, you're going to give me $30 off my meal to actually get it delivered, in which case I'm on board.
Oh, I've changed.
All of a sudden I've got 6 email addresses and all these different logs. No, that's a joke. That's a lie.
You're a terrible Muriel.
That'd be some sort of breach, I'm sure. Mm. Uber Eats on Friday, Black Friday, they were doing, I think it was your first order, you got $30 off your meal. So we got $40 worth of Thai for $15 and we paid $4 for the delivery.
Yeah.
And that was great, but the Thai restaurant is 200 metres from my house.
It's a walk away.
Mm. Oh,
and
easy.
That therefore becomes a lazy delivery.
Mm. But I thought, I'm not the only one, surely.
Mm.
Especially, and I feel like we're going to get some people that do the old Sunday morning hangover.
Oh, yes, 100%. Don't want to leave, can't leave.
No.
Only have pyjamas.
Yeah. Help. Help.
We've got Roxy from Kariah on the phone. Roxy, are you a lazy delivery
receiver?
Yeah. Yourself?
No, I'm a deliverer.
Oh,
a fish and chip shop and pizza shop, and we had a elderly couple who used to ring up an order and get it delivered across the road.
Wonderful.
That's so good.
Now, okay. They live directly across the road from the fish and chip shop.
Brilliant.
And they would get it delivered to their house.
Brilliant. How when you say elderly, like still mobile?
Still mobile,
yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd check. Just how much want to is be that? Laughing at elderly people for not being able to get out of the house.
How much does that cost for a walk over the road?
My boss wouldn't charge them. He's a nice bloke, but we're just across the road and we'd often deliver to them.
Pop Bless. Over, yeah. All right. Well, that sounds closer than 200 metres. So that's certainly lazier than me. Michelle in Grovedale, have you received some lazy delivery?
Yes. So I'll start off with food. Mm-hmm. There's the pizza shop, like literally around the corner, same as you, about 200 metres.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
10 minutes if you pick it up, 45 minutes if you get it delivered. So I time it with the kids for 45 minutes. So I'll call a little bit earlier so that their dinner time is there when it's needed.
Yeah, yeah.
But where we live, we're on the straight road down to Wampong Shopping Centre, so it's literally, I've timed it, it's a 3-minute drive.
Yes.
I'll do click and, like you can do click and collect. I won't opt for those. I would rather spend an extra $10, $15 to receive free shipping to get it shipped 3Ks down the road to me. But then on delivery days,
yes,
I work from home, so I'll work from my bed to watch the postie so I don't have to go down to Wampong and pick it up from the post office.
Amazing.
I love this.
That is so good. Do you just like getting presents though? Is that what it is? Where it's like, yeah. Oh, I get to unbox it, you know?
I think Black Friday's really rolled me. So yeah. I was looking at it last night and my partner's like, how many deliveries are you getting? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. I'll see you when you get home from work.
That's why you got to work from home to just hide some boxes and things.
Mm.
Simone in Marshall, is this you as well? Does this ring true, lazy deliveries?
Oh, mine's very much like the first story we heard.
Mm.
I had a pizza shop right across the road from where we lived, but we lived on a main road, so I refused to take my 4 kids out the door, so I would get delivery straight across the road.
Oh, see, okay. Good.
Right. Well, that makes sense, because yes. You're juggling kids.
And that's just safety, isn't it?
You're going to get them in the car.
How much did that cost? Do you remember?
they charged me standard delivery.
Good on them. Good on them. I mean, they've got a business to run.
Well,
so.
You've got to go up the road and then you've got to do a U-turn. And
yeah,
come
I mean it's about a pain in the butt.
Yeah, that's hard.
Ash and Lara, wrap this up for us. Lazy deliveries.
I'm one of those many who get the Macca's hangover Sunday in the morning.
Yes.
When you shouldn't be driving, when you can't be driving, yeah.
See, it's a safety thing. And how far away is your house to the Macca's, do you reckon?
Oh, I've got to say it's only like a 2-minute drive.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
Maybe a 10-minute walk.
What's your standard? Yeah, you're not walking 10 minutes, especially when you're hung. What's your standard order on a Sunday morning?
Oh, because I'm vegetarian, I get a bacon and egg muffin without the bacon, add barbecue sauce, and a coffee or a soft drink,
I love a bit of post-mix on a Sunday morning.
Do you know, I've got a mate that does the vanilla shake on a hangover, and the milk is never a good choice.
No, never. Wake up fresh daily. Wake up fresh daily.